Well, this morning, we're going to look into God's Word in a very special way with regard to prayer. But during this time, I've been reading through the Bible again. Many of us in our church read through the Bible every year, and I'm in the book of Job now, but I just read through several books that relate a lot to where we're at today in our nation and in our community with this COVID-19. When you look at the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, you find that the children of Israel went through a very similar thing that we're going through today, although much more exaggerated, when they lost everything as Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, came in and conquered Judah. In an instant, they lost their freedom, they lost their loved ones, they lost their jobs, they lost their careers. They lost their place of worship. They couldn't gather together to worship. They were taken to another land, a land that was polytheistic, a land that didn't know the Lord God Almighty. They could not meet together. They were restricted. They were called to worship these other gods at that time. That's where they were. But they survived. Not only did they survive, but many of them grew in faith and in confidence in Almighty God. Here in Jeremiah chapter 29, it says that God spoke to the children of Israel and told them that they were going to be in Babylon for 70 years because of his judgment. And God told them, he says, while you're in Babylon, build your houses and live in them. This is in Jeremiah 29, verse 5. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and give wives to your sons and give your daughters in marriage. So God was saying, just go ahead and live your life in this foreign land. And then the Lord went on to say, he said, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, this is in verse 10, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. So God is a God who fulfills his promises. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That was God's word to them at that time, and that's God's word to us at this time. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So here you have the children of Israel. They were in Babylon. Many of them fell into idol worship. Many of them were just assimilated into the culture. But there were several of God's people who grew in strength during those years. Ezra was one of them. Ezra grew up pretty much in Babylon, but one of the things about Ezra, it says in Ezra chapter 7, it says he loved the Lord and he loved the word of God. And he set his heart, even though many of the people around him were not doing that, he set his heart to study the word of God, to do it, and to teach it. Three things in Ezra's life. And he grew during that time. You also have Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the heathen king Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah, though he grew up in Babylon, he was a man of prayer and a man of the word. And he knew God was a covenant-keeping God. So he prayed and he gave himself to go back and help the Jews in building the wall. You have Esther and Mordecai. Mordecai during that time was a man of prayer. Ezra gave herself to lay down her life for the protection of God's people. And you also have Daniel, who was taken to Babylon. Daniel was not able to worship with his people. He was not able to go to any temples, and yet he honored God. He worshiped God. He prayed to God through four different kings, and Daniel made a great impact on his nation. So, what does that have to do with us today? Well, we're not able to meet together as normal, but we still are called to grow in our faith and in our confidence and in our knowledge of God. And my prayer for all of us is this would be a time of increase in the Lord and not a time of decrease. You know, we started off this year with the theme of clear vision, 2020 clear vision. And we prayed as a congregation that God would bring into clarity what he wanted in our lives, to bring into clarity what his purpose was, what we should be about during this time. Little did we know we'd be having COVID-19 come across the world and change everything in our lives. But you know, there are many things that have changed, but there are many things that never change, the things of God. And so we're going to be talking about today about how we should be growing in our walk with God, growing in our intimate relationship with God, and we're going to continue in this theme of prayer this morning that we began last week. So, with that being said, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read a passage of Scripture here and then go into this theme this morning of communing with God, praying to God, and having the confidence that God hears and answers our prayers. Here in 1 John chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse 11. And it says in verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have obtained the request made of Him." So this passage of Scripture has a tremendous promise for Christians who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been transformed by God's grace. And it says that we have confidence that if we ask anything, but it says according to the will of God, He will 100% of the time answer and fulfill our prayers. So this is what we're going to be focusing on today, how to pray effectively. We started last week with the life of Christ. We were looking in the Gospel of Mark, and we're still going to be going through the Gospel of Mark, but we're just taking this little time to focus on prayer as Jesus modeled for us. Jesus was in constant communication with the Father. He did nothing except what He saw the Father doing. He said nothing except what He heard the Father saying. We find Jesus praying from early morning to late night throughout the day. While He was ministering to people, while He was teaching the Word, while He was healing, He was in communication with His Father. Now, over the years, and even recently, I've heard people say, "Well, Doug, I read the Word, but when I begin to pray, I mean, after about 5 or 10 minutes, I don't know what else to pray for. I just run out of things to say. There's no way I could pray an hour or a half hour. I just wouldn't have enough to say." So we're going to talk about this morning how to spend time with God and never run out of things to pray. Never. Because of the way that we do that. How do we pray according to God's will? Here Jesus, we find in John chapter 13, He had this tremendous understanding of His relationship with God, His Heavenly Father. And in verse 13, it says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, He girded Himself with a towel and He washed His disciples' feet." Jesus knew where He came from, He knew why He was here, and He knew where He was going. He answered the three most important questions that everybody has in life. And as Christians, we know that we came from God. He created us. We were saved by God, redeemed by God, to live for His purposes here, and we're going to be going to God when we leave this life. And that's the same confidence that we have because of the work that Christ has done in our life. So we have this relationship with our Heavenly Father. Okay? God has given us the vehicle of prayer. How can we know for certain that God will answer our prayers? Okay? Well, because He's told us in His Word. First of all, 1 John chapter 5, 13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, first of all, that we have eternal life." This is one of the great certainties with everything else being uncertain, that I know that if I die, death is a doorway into heaven, and I will be with Him in His presence for all eternity. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death into life." So, we know for certain, one of the things we know for certain is we have this eternal relationship with Almighty God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going to be with Him through all eternity, through all eternity. Secondly, we have confidence in this passage of Scripture that God will answer all of our requests 100% of the time if we're praying according to His will. If we're praying according to His will, if we pray according to His will, we know that He hears us, and if we know He hears us in whatever we ask, we know we've obtained the requests we have asked of Him. So, that contrasts, if there's a way to pray according to His will, there's also a way to pray that's not according to His will. The Bible indicates that we can pray wrongly We can pray wrongly. In James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you pray wrongly to spend it on your own passions. So there's a way to pray that God is not going to hear our prayers. We can be talking to Him, but it's our motivation and our desires that have to come in line with His Word rather than what we want in our own passions. There's a way to pray that's right and a way to pray that's wrong. So how do we pray according to God's will? Let's move into more of the focus of this morning. Jesus gives us clear direction and insight into how to pray according to the will of God. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. If you abide in me, that is living in Christ, and God's word is living in us, we can ask whatever we want and God will do it. Great direction from our Lord. Number one in this passage of scripture, if is an important word. In my Bible, I circle all the ifs. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can highlight the word if, because that means that promise is conditional on something that we do. If you abide in me. First of all, a person who's going to commune with God, walk with God, have God hear his or her prayers and see the power of God released in our life, he's got to be a true born again Christian. That person, male or female, true born again Christian. 1 John chapter 5:11 says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He whom has a Son has life. He whom has not the Son has not life. So the key is, where is Jesus in your life? Turn with me to a passage that amplifies this a little bit more in Ephesians chapter 1. Again, we have this relationship with Almighty God through Christ. And because of that, the power of the sovereign, almighty, and eternal God can be working through our lives and working in every situation around us. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, pick it up in verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So because of the shed blood of Christ, paying the price for our sins, taking the judgment of God on our behalf, the wrath of God, so that we could be forgiven and redeemed, saved from slavery of sin and Satan, we can be redeemed to be his people, set apart for him. So we come to Christ, we receive him as Savior of our life and Lord. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Remember, in Ephesians it says, by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. We can't do anything to get to God, to heal that breach in our relationship with God. So God sent Jesus to breach that relationship. God had to reach us because we could not reach him. We're saved by grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And then here's the key, making known to us the mystery of his will. So God makes known to us the mystery of his will. We can know the will of God. We can know his will. Ephesians 5 says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we can understand God's will. How can we know God's will? We know God's will through God's word. God's word reveals his will to us. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay? Living in the Word of God gives direction to our prayers. It gives us direction to how God wants us to live, to what he desires in our life. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is not something that we just read every now and then when we get a chance. God wants his Word to live in us. We saw some tremendous examples this morning of families who are memorizing God's Word. There is no greater practice, as you saw the quote from Chuck Swindoll. And I believe that's true. No greater discipline or practice that a Christian can be involved in than memorizing Scripture. Because when you're memorizing Scripture, you're hiding that Word in your heart. The will of God begins to fill your thinking, fill your motivations, changing our desires, and we begin to walk in a way that honors him, and we see his power released in our life. That's what God desires. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. God will bless a person, man or woman, who delights in the law of the Lord. It's not something, we don't read God's word because we have to. We read it because we get to. We don't read it because we're obligated to. We read it because we have a privilege to know Almighty God and His will. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. When we delight ourselves in God and we get to know God, our desires change. They begin to line up with His word. And when we pray according to the will of God, we know that He will answer those prayers 100% of the time. That's certainty, especially in a time of uncertainty. We know that to be true. So God speaks to us and reveals His will through His word. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14 says, Jesus told His disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. That is what we prayed this morning before we went into God's word. Holy Spirit of God, guide us into all of God's truth. Because we would not be able to understand the word of God if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit making sense of it to us. This word is living and active. It's not just a book. He will guide us into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority. The Holy Spirit will always lead us according to the Word of God. So the more that we know God's Word, the more we can hear the voice of His Holy Spirit, the more that we can get direction from His Holy Spirit. I know as a pastor over the years, people have come to me and they said, oh, Doug, I know what God's Word says, but this is what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. And I have to say, according to Jesus' words, the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to God's word. If you feel like doing something that's contrary to God's word, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. And here's what it says. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So the more that we know the Word of God, the more that we can hear the voice of His Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. Jesus also directs us to pray according to that Word. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. Let God's Word abide in us. Again, God's Word is living and active. It is living. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's our nourishment. It's our strength. The word of God. We have many scriptural examples of prayer of men and women praying according to the will of God because they're praying the word of God. Here in Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you have King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat was facing an enemy that he could not conquer. This enemy was coming. It would destroy the people. It would destroy his nation. He didn't know what to do. And it says he was afraid and he proclaimed a fast and he instantly turned to God. You know, in times of trouble, most people will turn to God. When all of our resources are gone and we're at the end of our rope and we try to tie a knot on the end of the rope and we're just hanging in there, even people who don't know God hope there is a God up there. Some way, somehow. How many times over the years have I had non-Christians come to me and say, hey, Doug, I'm in a bad time. Why don't you throw one up to the man upstairs? They have no idea what they're talking about. We're talking about Almighty God. We're talking about a relationship with the God who controls the universe, who knows the stars by name. Why God Almighty would take note of a little speck in our universe called Earth and take note of little specks on this Earth called people, we don't know, but this is God. He loves us with an everlasting love. And so here, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat prays to God. And listen to Jehoshaphat's prayer. Listen to how he prays the word of God. He doesn't pray just his thoughts. He is recounting the faithfulness of God. And Jehoshaphat stood, verse 5, in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? That's Psalm 15. You rule over the kingdoms. of the nations. That's Psalm 2. In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. And did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to your descendants of Abraham, that's in Numbers, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us and the sword and judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before the house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. He quoted prayers from David. He quoted prayers from Solomon when he was lifting these up. These were words that were written down and accounted for, but Jehoshaphat knew, and he was simply lifting up those words to God. And now behold the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt. That was, he was recounting that time when Moses was leading the children of Israel towards Canaan. And whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. See, he's quoting Genesis at that time. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a powerful prayer of King Jehoshaphat. But you notice, he was praying the word of God and recounting the faithfulness of God, and that God was faithful and true to his word. And because God was faithful and true in the past, he would be faithful and true in that situation too. And God spoke to Jehoshaphat and said, Jehoshaphat, this battle is not yours, but mine. Now, there were times when God directed the children of Israel to go into battle and to send the soldiers in. But in this case, God says, you don't have to fight this battle. You send the worship team out first. Let them praise me and I'll do the rest. And God routed the enemy on their behalf. Jehoshaphat. Also, in Nehemiah, you have the priests during the days of Nehemiah lifting up a prayer to God. We have many of these accounted for in Scripture. But they give us insight into praying according to the will of the Lord. Here in Nehemiah chapter 9, you have the priests who are calling upon God now on behalf of the people. And we're just going to pick it up in verse 6, because it said the priests all stood up before the people and they begin to pray. You are the Lord, you alone. You made heaven and the heavens of heaven with all their host. They were quoting Genesis chapter 1. The earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of the Ur of Chaldees. So now they're going back to Genesis chapter 12 and they're praying the work of God through Abram when he called him, called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and then gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made with him a covenant to give to his offspring the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashites. And you have kept your promise, for you are righteous. So what these priests are saying is, God, you have done this. This is the land you've called us to. This is where you have us right now. You've always been faithful to your covenant, and you always will be. And then they go on, and you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea and performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh. So now they're recounting and going through Exodus. And they continue on, verse 16, but our fathers acted presumptuously and stiffened their neck. But you, O God, if you jump down then to verse, I'm just kind of tiptoeing through this passage to verse 17, even though our fathers were stiff-necked and they rebelled against you, you, O God, were ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. They quoted Moses when God revealed himself to Moses in the book of Exodus. See, they were quoting God's word and lifting up to God everything that he had already done in their prayers to him. It goes throughout the entire passage of Nehemiah during that time, praying the word of God. This is something when I was young that was introduced to me. And for the last 40 years, it has been a major part of my prayer life, is memorizing and meditating on God's word and then praying that word, praying according to the word of God as I lift those prayers up to him. Because when we do that, we are praying according to the will of God. And when we pray according to the will of God, he hears us. And knowing that he hears us, he will answer all the requests made of him. I suggest this morning that if some of you have never done this, that this would be the day when you would start to know the Word of God and to pray, integrate God's Word with your prayers. For many Christians, they say, well, I read the Bible and then I pray. They're like two different things. My suggestion this morning is to integrate those two together. And I'm going to give you an illustration here with just a couple of scriptures. This is just one that came to me when I was preparing this message. Psalm 16. As you're reading God's Word, you can commune with Him in prayer, lifting up the thoughts and the commands of God, His directives to Him, because God is pleased with that. God is looking for us to pray according to His will. The Word of God is the revealed will of God. So here, let's just say you're reading through the Psalms and you come to Psalm 16, and you're going to read Psalm 16, but you're going to pray. As you come across these scriptures, you're going to lift these scriptures up to God in prayer. For instance, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Oh, let me just stop and think about that a little bit. Lord, at this particular time, I want to have my refuge in you. I'm not safe at home. I'm safe in you. You are my refuge and my strength. Thank you for being there, O God. Thank you for watching over me and protecting me, O God. You're like a refuge from the storm. There's a storm raging around me, Lord, but thank you that you are my refuge. Then you can go on. And I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to me. There are many other things that used to control my life. They were lords over my life. But now, Lord, I thank you that you are my Lord. And I have no good apart from you. Lord, forgive me for times when I have thought this would be good or that would be good, when they were contrary to your word. I don't have any good apart from you, and I'm learning that. Thank you for teaching me. Then you go on. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is my delight. Oh God, thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the saints who loved you. Thank you for the mentors that you brought into my life at times when I needed an encouraging word. I needed direction. Thank you for the people that you brought into my life when I was a young Christian who taught me how to walk with you, taught me how to read the word, taught me how to pray. And oh God, thank you for the body of Christ. They're my delight. Lord, I miss being together with brothers and sisters. They're the delight of my life. I like the strength and the encouragement and the laughter that we have together. I love worshiping together, O God. Oh, the saints, they're the excellent ones. They're the ones I give you praise for. But Lord, and then you go on to the next verse. But Lord, the sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Oh God, there's so much grief. There's so much fear. There's so much sorrow in the world today because people don't know you. They're running after other gods, gods of money and fame and other ways they make security, astrology, other religions, oh God. They don't know you, the living God. And so they're multiplying sorrows upon themselves. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for marriages, oh God, where one of the spouses is going away from you, or maybe both of them. And for the troubled marriages, Lord, I pray for healing in these marriages. I pray for young people who are contemplating suicide. Lord, they've multiplied their sorrows because they don't know you. Maybe they come from a Christian home and they just walked away from the Lord. Lord, I pray for them. I pray you'd give them hope. I pray their eyes would turn to you. We can lift up that verse as a prayer to Almighty God, that He would deliver people out of their sorrows. And you go down to verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Lord, my life is in your hands. Everything that I have is yours. Thank you for all that you've given me. And then the next verse. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Lord, thank you for the life that I have. Thank you that I live in America. Thank you for all the amenities that I have here. Thank you for the freedoms that I have here. Thank you for the way that you've so richly blessed my life. My lot is in your hands. Help me to remember that, Lord. Forgive me for times when I've tried to take control of things that were in your control. Thank you, Lord. You hold my life in your hands, and I praise you for that. As we walk through God's word, we can lift up His word to Him. We can thank Him. We can confess. We can intercede for others. You go on here. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. Thank you for your counsel, Lord. And then if you know other scriptures, you can quote other scriptures during that time, like Psalm 32. Lord, you've said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Thank you that you give me instruction when I ask you, Lord. Thank you that you give me direction in what to do. We're communing with him. We're talking to God. We're asking him. We're requesting. We're interceding. We're praising him. We're recounting and reflecting on everything he's done in our life just through praying through the word of God. I have set the Lord always before me in verse 8. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Lord, everything else is being shaken. People's lives are being shaken right now. Thank you that I will not be shaken because I put you before me all the time. I want your will. You're my Lord. I want to do what you want today. I want you to guide my day. I want to grow in the knowledge of you and of your grace in my life. Thank you for that, Lord. I don't have to fear. I don't have to give way like the many nations of this world. I'm secure in you. Then you go on to the last verse. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, could we spend time thanking God for that? Thank you, Lord, that you've made known to me the path of life. I used to think before I knew you I was on a path of life, but I was on a path of self-destruction. I didn't know that you had a way and a design for me to live, that you had ordained from the time I was born. Thank you that you've made that known to me, Lord. Thank you that I can now follow you. I can now walk according to your design. I don't have to live a life that destroys myself and others around me any longer. For in your presence is the fullness of joy. I used to think joy was in a bottle or in a drug or in a relationship or in money or in some other security. But Lord, I know now the fullness of joy, lasting joy, is only found in your presence. I want to live in your presence. We lift that up to him. How many of you think God will answer those prayers? See, we're praying according to his will. Look at another passage here. Go to Luke. And again, we could go to almost every passage in the Bible. But here's one that's applicable for where we are today. So you're reading through the Gospel of Luke. Most of you know this. When I read through the Bible every year, I don't pick up a pen or anything. I just love to read through the scriptures. But then, with that, I'll stop. Sometimes I'm reading through the scriptures and I'll come to a passage that's really speaking to me, and I'll just commune with God in that passage of scripture, thanking him, interceding, praying according to everything that I'm reading in that word. It's communing with God. Here in Luke chapter 12, verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Oh, we can stop right there. Oh, Lord, forgive me for being anxious. Lord, there's times when I just get my eyes on TV and I start watching the news and I just am filled with anxiety about where we're going to go. There's so many uncertain things. How is this going to work with my kids in school? How are the finances going to work? What about the business? What about my job? And I can just become full of anxiety. Oh, God, forgive me for that. Because Jesus, you said, I don't have to be anxious about anything. I don't have to be anxious about anything. Whew, thank you, Lord. I needed to hear that. That is communing with God. Don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Yeah, okay, so the real purpose and meaning of life really has nothing to do with the things around us. My image, my joy is not determined by how many nice clothes I can buy or how much nice stuff I have. That's not me, you know, or how much food I have packed in my freezers. Oh, during this time, I bought 2 more freezers. I got freezers full of meat. I got freezers full of everything I need. You know, well, that's okay, but that is not where our life is. Our life is hid in Christ, in God, Colossians chapter 3. And the more that I know that, the more peace that I have. Jesus is speaking this passage of scripture to his disciples, knowing they were going to come into terrible persecution. They were going to lose everything in their life. And Jesus is already setting them up to keep their eyes upon him. And then Jesus says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse or barn." You know, they don't have a lot of security. They don't have the 401ks and the bank accounts, and they don't have all the different food shelters and everything else that the people would have to make sure that they can survive here. The ravens don't worry about that. The bluebirds that are banging into our windows here, they don't worry about that. The birds aren't worried. The elk, there's no one out there feeding these elk. There's no one worried about these moose out here, what they're going to eat. Who's feeding them? God, our Heavenly Father, is feeding them. He's taking care of it. So Jesus is saying, look at the world around you. It is getting along very well without your help, because I'm the Lord of that. Take note of that, because your Heavenly Father feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? Oh God, thank you that I am valuable to you. Jesus, thank you for that. Lord, my life is your life. You've created me. You've given me gifts. You've given me talents. You have a purpose and a plan for my life. And I'm valuable to you. Even though I'm just made of clay, I have this tremendous treasure in this earthen vessel. And we can quote God's word back to him. Thank you for your presence in my life. Lord, I pray for people right now who just feel so devalued in their life. They don't know how special they are to you. I lift up these that are coming to my mind right now, Lord, and I pray for them. We can use this verse as an intercessory time with God. And which of you, by being anxious, Jesus said, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Oh, God, you need to stop there. Lord, I have a span of life. I have a determined span of life. I've just been reading through the book of Job. Job 14, 5 says, God has determined a man's lifespan. Yeah, so I'm going to die someday. In fact, sad news is we're all going to die. But for the Christian, that's the good news. I'm going to die of something. Either it's COVID-19 or cancer or stroke or heart attack or some other bacteria or an accident. Something is going to take my life at some time. God has given me a span of life, and I cannot add to that span of life. And Jesus said, if you can't do a simple thing like adding to your years, why are you worried about anything else? I mean, that's a pretty astounding statement that our Lord made there. He said, I'm in charge of all of this. In our vernacular, it would be chill out. Just chill. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Your life is in my hands. Then he goes on again. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. You've never heard a plant grunt, right? Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. There's not enough clothes in the world. There's not enough gold in the world, not enough silver in the world to cause us to be arrayed like one flower that God creates. Anybody ever look into a columbine, the Colorado State flower? I mean, as you look into that flower, it will draw you in. The beauty, the intricate design that God has made. Jesus is pointing us to the things that do not change. Everything else around us changes. That doesn't change. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Okay, Lord, increase my faith. You know, Lord, I believe in you, but I'm having a hard time trusting you in this area. But Lord, thank you. You can increase my faith, and that's what I need right now. Put my confidence in you. You stop along the way as you're reading God's word, and you just lift that word up to him. We're praying according to the will of the Lord. God wants us to be free from anxiety, so that's what I'm asking him. God wants us to have faith in him, that's what I'm asking him. God wants us to understand our span of life and to be okay with whatever goes on. Trusting him, that's what I want. God wants me to feel valued and other people around me to feel valued. That's what he wants. That's what I want. That's what I pray for. And God begins to move and answer those prayers as we lift those up to him because we're praying according to the will of God. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. Don't be worried. For all the nations of the world seek these things. So I'm looking around the nation. They're seeking for security. They're seeking for solutions. They're trying to preserve their life. They're afraid right now of getting sick or possibly dying or loved ones dying. And there's such a fear right now and an anxiety in our world. But Jesus says, not with my people, not with you. Don't be worried like the rest of the nations are, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. So then I say, well, Lord, if you know what I need before I ask, why do you want me to ask? Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. I know that you provide my daily bread, and yet you've called me to ask you for my daily bread, Lord. Well, then as I'm meditating on that and I'm communing with God, God reminds me of me being a father. You know, I'm made in the image of my heavenly Father. And so here I am, a dad, and my kids are small, like many of you have small children. And I can remember one time I told them, kids, today we're going to McDonald's. And so all the kids pile in the car, we're going to McDonald's. Now, I know what they want. They all want Happy Meals. Not only do I know what they want in the Happy Meal, I know what toys they want in the Happy Meal. And so I already know that, okay? And we're driving along, and what does one of them say? Dad, Dad, can I have a Happy Meal? And I say, yep, that's what we're going to have. Oh, Dad, thanks. They give me a big hug. I love that. I already know what they want. I already know what they need, but it brings so much joy when I see their gratefulness and their excitement in getting that. I mean, that's, God is an emotional God. We're made in his image. He delights in his children getting excited about his will and what he wants for us. He knows. He knows everything. Then he goes on to say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh God, stop right there. Thank you that you desire to bless my life and to give me all that you have. This is what you want. This is what I want, Lord. Lord, help me not to desire the things that I want, but to desire the things that you want. I want your kingdom. I want your realm, the realm of your lordship. I want to walk with you, Lord. Take away my desires to go any other direction so that I can find my all in all in you. Do you think God will answer that prayer? That's communing with him. He will change our mind. He will change our heart, which changes everything around us. These are requests. And then he goes on to say, this is pretty shocking, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old and with treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Oh God. Oh God, forgive me for hanging on to my possessions. Forgive me for grumbling and complaining about you not giving me a nicer thing or more of it. Forgive me for that, Lord. Father, that's just treasures on earth, and that's all going to be gone. I can actually lay up treasures in heaven by giving to needy people around me. Lord, change my heart. Help me to be more concerned about others' needs than my needs. Help me, oh God, change my heart. Help me to be aware of how I can bless others rather than wanting others to bless me. Think God will answer that prayer? We're praying right according to his will. So many other things we could be sharing in that area this morning. But this is what I suggest. Incorporate and integrate prayer and the word into your life. You will not only be able to pray 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you will find yourself spending an hour in communion with God praying, and that time will just be gone. Because we're looking at the word of God. We're letting God's word dwell in us richly. We're building that relationship with Almighty God. And for certain, God will move mightily in our lives and in the lives of those we pray for. We can be certain that God will answer our prayers when we learn his will for our lives. God's word reveals his will as he speaks to us through his unchanging and eternal word. Can we have certainty in an uncertain world? Oh, yes, but it's in Christ, and it's in Christ alone. We can have certainty in an uncertain world. Our confidence is in God and in him alone. That's in your notes. So I'm going to close reading this scripture one more time. In verse 11, 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And that word is zoe, life to its fullest, life in every way, life in abundance. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request that we have asked of him. God wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to be actively involved in our requests. And that's the confidence that we have in him. So we're going to close this morning with that, and let's bow for prayer. As we lift our hearts to God, we thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that verse that Sarah read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Oh God, that's what we want. We want to grow in our trust and confidence in you. We don't want to lean on our own understanding, oh God, because we can be overwhelmed with life. Because we can't solve our own problems. We think we can't solve our own problems. Even with this coronavirus, if we solve that, there'll be another one that'll come, and another. Because under your judgment, this world is sick with sin. But thank you for Jesus. For Lord, you have come and made the way back to Almighty God to be reconciled with Almighty God. You have broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Oh God, we thank you for this. And now we can have an eternal relationship with you that begins now and continues through all eternity. Father, we pray for one another this morning. We pray that we would be men and women of the Word. We pray that our children would see the Word of God, living and active in our lives. That we would learn to pray and integrate our prayers according to your will for our lives, oh God. That's what you desire. Jesus, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And that's your desire for us. Lord, we pray this morning that there would be individuals maybe who have maybe thought they believed in you, but they've never surrendered their lives to you as Lord, never looked to you. Oh God, let this be the day when they can come in to true salvation. They could come into the kingdom of God, coming before you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believing that, oh God, you raised him from the dead. Jesus is alive today and he's able to transform our lives. Oh God, thank you for this. Let this be the day that many would come into the kingdom. And for us as your people, oh God, we thank you for your mercy and your compassion and your patience with us all. God, we give you praise. Thank you for this eternal relationship we have with you. And let it just increase during this time, oh God, that we're in our country. May we grow closer to you. More in line with your word, more knowledgeable, oh God. We thank you for this, having your word living within us. Thank you for these things today, Father. And we give you praise now as we lift up this last song before you, Jesus. Be honored in our lives, oh God, we pray, in your name.